Proverbs chapter number 8 tonight, and we're going to begin by reading verse 31 to the end of the chapter. So we're going to conclude tonight our chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs. We've got a couple of things I want to cover, but we are been looking at the marriage relationship of wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. So we go back to the beginning of the chapter. We find that wisdom and understanding give us, wisdom and understanding give us together one thing that we can get from God, and the Lord calls it she. That's the marriage between wisdom and understanding. And God wants us to grasp wisdom and understanding and make them ours. And the way to do that, and when we do that, I should say, He gives us many things. In verse number 31 and 32, we're going to find a wisdom and understanding put together bring us to be, man, to be used. Causes us to be used. But let's pray. Father, thank You for this time that we can study the book of Proverbs. Now guide us and direct us as we learn. Please, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 tell us that God delights in the sons of men. We'll become and when we hearken, for blessed are they that keep My ways. So God wants us to keep His ways so we can be used of Him. Wisdom and understanding together with man puts us in a usable position by God. When we go by the wisdom of the world and the things that the world teaches us, now, let me say this, I'm not against education, that's not what I mean when I say teaching. I'm for our children to be educated. But there's some things that the world educates you and I in that we don't want to be educated in, and that's the ways of the world. And then the ways of the world are the ways of the unsaved person. Let me put it that way. And the ways of the unsaved man. We fight in war for no reason. We want and lust after things. We rob and steal and kill so that we can have what somebody else has. That's the ways of the world. We lie and cheat so that we can get what we want. That's the ways of the world. And when it comes to those ways, we do those by our own fallen nature, by our nature, the nature of man. We do those things because the nature of man, when we're born in a sinful nature. But when we receive Christ as Savior, we now get a new nature, a heavenly nature. But we still have that old flesh with us, that old world nature. And it still leads us down the wrong path. So God says that if we get wisdom and understanding, and those two get married together and we put them into our life, then what we can be used is be used by God. Because God doesn't use the ways of the world. God uses His directions, not ours. The world says you get in an argument with a spouse, you divorce them. You have a hard time in your marriage, you get rid of that person. Oh, if you're not as romantic in your relationship as you once were, you go find somebody else to be romantic with and you leave your spouse. Those are not God's ways. God's way says you solve the problem by creating your marriage around Christ, around His truth. And you allow Him, you love Him, and you allow His love to flow through you to your spouse and to your children. That's the ways of wisdom. So God can't use us if we follow the ways of the world. Because our ways are perverted. They're corrupted by sin. So God wants to use you and I to reach as many people for Him on this earth by being used by Him by wisdom and understanding. The next number in our series actually is number 13 of things that she gives us, and this is instruction. She, wisdom and understanding, are given to us through instruction. We don't get wisdom and understanding on our own. It has to be received through instruction. Here it says in verse 33, hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. So the only way that you and I can get wisdom is being instructed in wisdom. And where do we find that instruction? We find that in the Word of God. But where do we find it in the Word of God, specifically in the book of Proverbs? the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, or looking at life from God's perspective, looking at ourselves from God's perspective, and looking at our relationship with others from God's perspective. And then understanding, if you remember, in our definitions of words as we began our study in the book of Proverbs, we learned that there are 10 words that we would use over and over and over again. And we learned the word understanding means to apply the view of God, that's wisdom, to comprehend it, that means give us something to have understanding of it, and to accept it. Now you can understand it and you can know it, but if you don't accept it, accepting it is applying it, putting it to work in your life and in my life. And the only way for us to get that is through instruction. So hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Now this is interesting. Look at the next few words here in this verse 34. Watching daily at my gates. At what gates? The gates of wisdom and understanding. That's the gates here. That's what's being talked about. She. What's the she? It's God's understanding. It's God's wisdom. It's applying it to our life. It's accepting it from God's word, not from ourselves. And so it says, watching daily, so it's something I need every day. What do I need every day? I need instruction and wisdom and understanding every day. I can't go a day without it, because as I go without it, listen, I've got 56 years of the world living in me. And it still lives in me, even though I've been saved for 35 of those years, I think. 35 of those years I've been saved. For 35 years I've been serving the Lord. For 35 years I've been reading His Word. But I still need it every day. All I have to do is walk away from it for a few days and I get weak, just like anybody else. Why? Because I'm not eating. If you go 2 or 3 days without eating, you're going to get weak too. If you go 2 or 3 days without drinking water, you could die. Because it's essential. And God's telling us it's essential that daily we're watching daily at His gates for wisdom and understanding. Waiting at the doorposts, at the posts of my doors. So we need to be there. We need to be there waiting, wanting it, waiting upon it. It's funny. I think about Black Friday. That was a little over a month ago on, the day after Thanksgiving. People lined up at the doorpost. Couldn't wait to get in. People lined up way before the stores opened so they could rush inside. Why? Because they wanted to get in there so badly. How badly do we want instruction and wisdom? So bad that we'll wait at the door waiting for it to be given to us? Or do we have to be dragged to the door? I was talking with a young Christian today. They're trying to grow in the knowledge and the truth of the Word of God. They were struggling a little bit. Excuse me, I still have a bit of that cold. And so they were struggling a little bit in their Bible reading. And they get a little frustrated and a little irritated. Because first, they don't understand everything they're reading. And secondly, it gets kind of boring from time to time. And the truth is it does. And so they just give up. And they said, why can't I understand it quickly? And I said, because the Word of God is a living Word. And what does that mean? That means that God's alive. And what you're really doing is you're not reading a book. You're learning about somebody. You're learning about God. You're learning about Jesus Christ. You're learning about the Almighty. You're learning about Him. That's what reading the Bible is. It's getting to know Him. I read a book, and I expect it to be like a novel. But the Bible isn't a novel. It's God's Word. It's the living Word of God. So that's like when I first met my wife. I didn't know everything about her. She didn't know everything about me. But we started to communicate. The more we communicated, the more we learned things that we liked and things that we disliked. We learned more about each other. There are some times when I'm sure when we were dating, my wife went, oh my goodness, what a moron. I don't think I have anything to do with him ever again. And then there's other times she went, oh, he's so handsome and wonderful and strong and virile, and no, he never said any of that, huh? There was a time when I would disagree with what she would say, but I'd get to know her. It took time. Then we got to know each other well enough that we wanted to get married. But we still didn't know everything about each other. We've been married for 33 years. And we're still learning about each other. I know her better than I met when I first met her 35 years ago. I know her better now. She knows me better now. Now we know all those little idiosyncrasies that we don't care about of that person. Now we know the things we like and the things we dislike, and we know why we like them and we know why we dislike them. But the truth is, we keep learning more and more about each other all the time. Why? Because you can never learn fully about a person. There are parts of me that my wife doesn't ever get to see. She doesn't get to see that stranger at work who works with people and knows me as a co-worker. She doesn't get to see that. Now, we've been co-workers in the Lord's work, but she doesn't really see that part of me because she can't experience that. She knows me as her husband and as her friend, not as some person that works with her. I don't know my wife as a co-worker like she knows those whom she works with. So there's always things to be learning. And sometimes you can say, well, after 35 years of knowing each other, after 33 years of knowing, of living with each other, aren't you tired of each other? No. We keep, in fact, we're more comfortable with each other as time goes by. I can't think of a person in the world I'd rather grow old with than with my wife, and we're getting old very quickly. I can't think of someone I'd want to share my grandchildren with like I want to share with her. She makes a wonderful grandmother. I think we make good grandparents together. I'm just saying that there's a comfort in getting to know each other. There's a pleasure in getting to know each other. I will say this, no one knows me. No one understands me like my wife knows me and understands me. It doesn't matter if it's my mom or my dad or my brothers or my sisters or my children. My children don't know one-tenth of me compared to what my wife knows of me. I'm just saying that that's how the Word of God is. So as a result of that, I yearn to be with her. And that's what this is talking about. When it talks about being at the posts of the doors, it's talking about wanting to be there. I want wisdom. I want to be the first one at the door to get it. As soon as I can speak to God, I want it. At the beginning of my day, at the end of my day, in the middle of my day, I want to run to Him and get from Him what I need. So I'm waiting at the post of the door of wisdom and understanding. Notice what it says. Number 14 is, she bringeth favor with God. Wisdom and understanding bringeth favor with God. Verse 35. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So we actually see two things. We see life is given to us here. And we see favor with God is given here. I need God's good pleasure on my life. It doesn't come from trying to be good or trying to read my Bible or trying to be in church. Those are all good things. But true favor with God comes by reading the Bible, seeing things from His point of view, accepting it, comprehending it, and applying it to my life. What's that do for me? That puts me in God's good favor. Means I can have God's blessings flowing in my life. People, as Christians, just accept that the Bible, we think that the Bible is a special spoofle dust, you know, kind of like a magic powder. We just sprinkle it on ourselves, we run underneath the Word of God, we quote the Word of God, and we go to church, and so everything ought to be great in our life, and God's wisdom and power and might and goodness should be all over us. That's how Christians behave. But the truth is, that's not what God's telling us here. He's telling us that when we go and run to His door on a daily basis and get wisdom and understanding and put them together as one, that's where God's favor really comes from. When we look at life from His point of view. Because we can go to church and we can read our Bible, we can memorize Scripture and still let the polluted thoughts of the world control our minds. And that's not how we find favor with God. So it's wonderful that God gives us favor with Him. And of course, that gives us a life, a wonderful life. We find life, true life, the purpose of life, the grandeur of life. It's one thing to be alive. It's another thing to live a life that God has given you alive. I've met many people that are dying who live more of their life than someone who is alive and doesn't even know that they're sick or may not be sick at all. Because they value every day so much more and live it to its fullest every day because they know their time is short. Yet when we don't think our time is short, we just kind of squander and waste and live our life haphazardly. Notice what it says now in verse 36, number 15. She can be sinned against. Wisdom and understanding can be sinned against. But he that sinneth against me, wisdom and understanding, wrongeth his own soul. That's the sin. This isn't wickedness. This isn't evil. It's a sin in our life. That means we trespass God. We've gone against Him. We wrong our own soul because we're following the wrong leadership. It's not the church that we're supposed to follow. It's not the pastor we're supposed to follow. It's God we're supposed to follow. And I know that there's many churches where the pastor leads everything and everybody follows the pastor, but don't follow me, follow Jesus Christ. I may be your pastor and I love you and you love me as your pastor, but the truth is we need to follow Christ. It's not a human being we need to follow. Human beings are frail. We sin. We do wrong. But God's perfect. And He'll never lead us in the wrong direction. The truth is, too, that when we follow the wrong leadership, rather following people or an entity like a church, rather than God, we sin against wisdom and understanding. And we wrong ourselves. So we sin against God, but also against ourselves. And then this is an amazing statement to me. All they that hate me, what? God's view of life. God's view of themselves. God's view of others. And then comprehending it, accepting it and applying it. When we reject that, when we hate that, we love death. He loves death. What kind of death? Twisted death that comes from hell, not physical death, but the death that sin brings. And sin brings death, sadness, sorrow, heartbreak. It doesn't say you're not saved. It doesn't say I'm not saved. What it does say is that we love death, the results of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But it's not talking about going to hell. Christians can be in this very boat right here. If we do not walk by wisdom and understanding as one, being married together, we're living in death. We're loving death. When we start to make decisions based upon what we think, what we feel, what we believe the world is all about, when we make those decisions outside of the Word of God, not what the preacher says, not what the church says, not what religion says, but according to wisdom, we go away from wisdom, we go away from understanding, and God says we love death. And many Christians live in a life of death. Because they live by feelings and emotions rather than by living in the truth of the Word of God. Let me give you 10 observations here about this. Here's what I think wisdom and instruction really give us. Wisdom and understanding really give us. It gives us common sense. It's just common sense. Wisdom married to understanding brings common sense. So those here are 10 observations. Number one, wisdom married to understanding becomes common sense. Number two, you learn common sense at an early age. So we need to learn wisdom and understanding early in our life. Number three then, common sense is an attribute of God. Because wisdom and understanding are attributes of God. Number four, common sense isn't common to the common person. Common sense really isn't very common amongst common people. So we need to go to God to get that which is common. Number five. You gain common sense in two different ways. By pain of having lived life the wrong way. And going and having to get common sense. Or by brain. Learning it, applying it, and living in it. Observation number 6. Common sense will put money in your pocket. That's what we learned, part of what we learned here. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be successful financially. I feel bad for the United States of America. We are not living by any kind of common sense at all when it comes to the financial condition of our country. Spend, 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 and we have no income. And we're constantly overdrawn. A person that's constantly overdrawn at the bank's in trouble. They're bankrupt. And that's what we're doing to our country because we're not using common sense, but if we would use common sense, it'd put money back in our pocket as a country. By the way, our country no longer lives by God's wisdom. It wants to be just like the world. Did you notice America is not acting like a Christian nation anymore? Everywhere we go and everything we do, we just went through the Christmas season where people, again, were fighting whether or not we should say Christmas or have a Christmas tree or sing Christmas carols in the commonplace, or Christmas was attacked over and over again. Christians are being attacked over and over again in America. And yet America was founded because we needed freedom, religious freedom. Common sense, number 7, brings favor from the Lord. Common sense brings favor from the Lord. Number 8, common sense is founded in a righteous path. Verse number 20. We read it earlier a couple weeks ago. I lead thee in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. So common sense brings us to a righteous path. We need that in our life. We need to follow God's path. Not our path, nor the path of the world, but God's path. Number 9, common sense avoids pitfalls. Verse 20 again. I lead thee in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. So, we avoid pitfalls then. The pitfalls that come with life. The pitfalls are the world's ways. When we live in common sense or live according to wisdom and understanding, married together as one. Number 10 then. Common sense then is more valuable than silver and gold. Common sense is more valuable than silver and gold. Notice what it said in verse number 10 of Proverbs chapter 8. Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So wisdom and married with understanding bringeth common sense, and common sense is more valuable than silver or gold. Which would you rather have for your children? For them to be rich or to have common sense? Because if you're rich, you're not going to keep your riches very long if you don't have common sense. You may find out too late in life that you don't have to be a crook in order to succeed in life. I've worked with businesses after businesses in my Christian life. And as a Christian, I've run businesses, and I'll tell you what, I've learned that much business is crooked. And it breaks my heart that businessmen and businesses think they have to be crooked and rip off the common person in order to become prosperous. But true prosperity comes through common sense, which is what? Wisdom and understanding being married together as one. And that changes our life. We need to make it as common in our life, wisdom and understanding, as a thought. Oh, I just need to do this. It's time to do this. This is the right way to be. And just make it a part of our life instead of, well, let's see, what I need to go look that up again. What's the Bible saying? We need to be with it so often and so much it just becomes a part of it. I said earlier, my wife and I have been married for 33 years at this point of our life. And the truth is that I don't have to think about her being married to me. She doesn't have to think about me being married to her. We're part of each other now. I wear a ring, a wedding ring, but it doesn't have to remind me I'm married. I think about my wife all the time. I miss her when she's not with me. I want to be with her when we're apart. I think of her through the day. If you looked at our cell phone bills, you'd find out we talk to each other and text each other more than we communicate with anybody else. Why? Because we're valuable to each other. It's just part of the common thought process that automatically happens. We don't make decisions apart from each other. We always say, I got to talk to my wife or my husband about that. Why? Because we've become so much a part of each other. Well, that's chapter 8. Boy, there was a lot of information in chapter 8. wonderful, wonderful God gave us some wonderful information of how to put wisdom and understanding into our life where we can become better people and live a greater life while we're here on this earth as we're preparing to be with Him in heaven because of the marriage of wisdom and knowledge. Father, thank You so much for what we've learned.